You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Every year in December, the CBC holds an all-day fundraising event for the food bank. On this day, they encourage listeners to donate to help poor people have a better Christmas. This year was the 25th anniversary of the opening of the Vancouver Food Bank and the 25th CBC Food Bank Drive. This year, poor people showed up at the event to talk about what they think they need. This rally at the CBC was organized by the Raise the Rates Coalition. Jean Swanson is a longtime anti-poverty activist and an organizer with Raise the Rates, and she joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Jean.
Hello.
I want to take you back 25 years. Do you remember when the first food bank opened?
I was actually there. And what I remember about it is there was a minister, maybe it was a church food bank or something, I can't quite remember, but anyway, there was a minister there, and he said, this is a temporary measure. We're going to close after a year or less, right? And so here we are 25 years later.
How have attitudes changed over those 25 years to the food bank?
Well, I think it's become kind of an institution, and the problem is that charity has been substituted for justice. 25 years ago, our social programs were a lot stronger. If welfare today had the same purchasing power as it had in 1980, it would be $930 a month, and right now it's $610 a month. Back in those days, in 1980, UI, unemployment insurance, covered about 90% of unemployed people, and it provided 75% of their previous income. Now it only covers 30 to 40% of unemployed people with 55% of their income. I mean, these are, back in the 80s, there was a federal provincial housing program that built an average of 768 units of housing per year in just Vancouver, social housing. So the social program scene was a lot different in those days. There was a lot more justice, and it's when it started getting worse, then we started having charity, and the corporations and government started promoting charity as an alternative to justice.
What I've noticed over that time period is that, I remember being very shocked when the food bank first opened. There was the first food bank in Vancouver, but now in the context of all those changes that you've mentioned, it just, you know, it's just part of the wallpaper. I mean, it's just something that you accept as existing in Vancouver.
And, for example, I was at a meeting of the Downtown Eastside Neighborhood Council. We had small groups. It was about a month ago. And we were talking about what the neighborhood council should be doing in the next year. And one of the ideas that people had was try and get a food bank in the downtown Eastside. You know, so it's kind of shocking that people's expectations, it's shocking to me that people's expectations have been reduced so much. But mind you, they're younger people than me and don't know about the, can't remember the times when we had better social programs.
What was the mood of the rally at the CBC?
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. We had a Tina the Turkey. Diane Wood dressed up as Tina the Turkey and the charity turkey to make the point that, you know, we get people who are poor get turkeys donated in December for Christmas, but then in January, February, March, and all the other months, they're still hungry. And we had people from who use food banks speak about what it's like to have to line up and have to get food that maybe isn't as fresh as it should be and just doesn't really meet their needs and how degrading it is. And, so then we had this giant thank you card that we wanted to go in and present to the CBC that said thank you for collecting the food because we need it, but now why don't you give more coverage to the systemic causes of poverty so that people can work to actually reduce and end poverty. But they wouldn't let us in.
How did the CBC react? I mean, you said they didn't let you in. Did what you were saying come through on the air at all, or did they acknowledge you on the air at all?
Well, I didn't listen because I was there, so I don't know. They had cops and security guards were all over the place, so. And they said we might scare the people who were inside. I didn't think we were that scary of a bunch, but hey.
What is the bigger problem behind charity and charity events like this?
Well, I have a little list of things that are wrong with charity. But I'm just saying it with the proviso that people need charity right now. They're starving. So don't stop donating to charity, but if at the same time work for justice, I guess that's the message. So charity creates unequal power relationships because with charity, food or shelter or whatever, clothing, isn't, you don't choose it. The person who needs it doesn't choose it or select it. Somebody else decides whether or not they can have it. And the donor has the power. And actually, most charity isn't for people who are poor. It's, you know, for the ballet or the opera or Seagram's used to donate to an education thing for free market education for East Europeans. So, and then, you know, there's like the CKNW Orphans Fund, right? Giving money to orphans because that orphans are considered deserving, but other people who need, everybody needs basic human rights of housing, food, you know, shelter, clothing, education, health care. But what's happened now is that those are being put into the realm of charity and donors get to decide who gets them and who doesn't. So that's one thing that's wrong. Charity also creates the illusion that needs get met when they don't. For example, I calculated that if the food bank raised $500,000 on the food bank day, which it didn't, I think it was short of that, but if it raised that much, that would be about $2.78 for each of the of BC's people on welfare. So it's nothing, really, nothing. Some charities use the poor for their own public relations, like, you know, the CIBC Run for the Cure. It's for raising money for cancer research. But, you know, that's another example of how most charities don't help the poor. They pick something that's more deserving, like cancer, which should be funded by the government anyway. Or the realtors have a blanket drive. You know, it's kind of ironic that the people who are benefiting from the enormous housing prices, which are making people homeless, have a blanket drive for people who are poor. And I'm not saying that people don't need the blankets. They do. Sometimes charities demean the people who use them. For example, I remember trying to get some clothes for my kids when we were didn't have much money. And the Salvation Army had a thing where you went to get free clothes, but they wrapped up all the clothes and they had them on tables like girls, 8 to 10, boys, 10 to 12. And you couldn't actually see what you were getting or whether they would fit your kid or whether your kid would like them. So that's one example. Another thing is charity won't end poverty. It's just a guy in a food bank lineup one time said it won't end poverty. It will just alleviate 1% of it 1% of the time. So, I'm actually afraid that housing is going to become another charity, just like food, and that people will be relying on charity for housing unless we get a national housing program pretty soon.
I'm interested to hear you say that a lot of charity that people do give, a lot of it doesn't go to poor people, because I know that the charitable giving in general is down, at least I think it is, and then you're just getting, poor people are just getting a small percent of that also.
I think the figure that I have in my book, which is 10 years old, I think, is 17% of charitable donations. That would be official donations that get receipts, 17% of them go to the poor.
What is it like to be on the receiving end of that kind of charitable giving?
You know, when I was at End Legislated Poverty, we did a report on that. And, you know, the first thing with a research report that you're supposed to do is a survey of the literature. So we sent all the people who were doing the report off to UBC, to the library, this was before the internet, to find out what had been written about how it is, how it feels to receive charity. And you know what? There was nothing. It was all about how good it feels to give to charity. But there was nothing about how it feels to receive charity. And so then we got groups of people together and asked them how does it feel to have to get charity. And at first they would say things like, oh, it's generous, oh, it's good. But then when you prod a little deeper, people say they feel humiliated, they feel degraded, they feel put down. One guy said, charity is nice, but power is better. That's my favorite quote. I've certainly, you know, I remember once when I was in Winnipeg with my two kids and I had no money, and it was the end of October and winter was coming, and I desperately needed some warm clothes for them. And I went to the Salvation Army because I'd heard that they give stuff away, and I was grilled for 45 minutes, reduced to tears, and then given a voucher to go to the Salvation Army store and get stuff, which was all listed what I could get. So I went there and I picked out all the stuff, went up to, gave them the voucher, and they said, oh, you can't shop here, you have to go upstairs. So by then my kids were crying because they couldn't get what they had wanted. So I went upstairs and there was a whole line of people and it was closed for lunch. And there was mothers and kids and people were coughing and sneezing, and finally the door opened and they didn't give us what we needed. You know, they had a huge shelf full of stuff. And my kids were 2 and 3 and they gave me a pair of rubber boots that would fit a 10-year-old and nothing that would fit them. The only useful things they gave me were a scarf and a blanket. So, and that happened to everybody. So, and I don't know, you wonder if it isn't a way of making you, trying to make you feel bad about being poor. So then, of course, we went downstairs and all the people there traded, you know, to try and see if they could get what they needed. But, you know, that's just one example. I hope it isn't that bad nowadays. But that's, you know, that's, I didn't feel too good after that experience, I'll tell you.
Who do you blame for the fact that we still, after 25 years, need food banks?
Government. They're the ones that have slashed the social programs, as I talked about at the beginning. You know, we could end poverty in BC. There's a perfectly good poverty reduction strategy. If you go to poverty reduction, any Google poverty reduction, BC poverty reduction, you'll come up with a great poverty reduction strategy. It's affordable. We could actually save money if we build housing for the homeless, because it's more expensive to keep people on the streets than to house them. And we'd have a more equal, more trusting society with less social problems. It would benefit everybody if we had the basic systems in place to end the need for charity.
Is there a difference between the Liberal and the NDP governments in terms of their commitment to ending poverty?
I don't know. I don't know right now. In the past, the NDP and the Liberals have been pretty bad. The NDP claims that it will build 2,000 units of housing, or build housing, social housing. I think 2,000 units in the first year and 1,200 units a year afterwards in the province, which would be better than nothing, better than the Liberals. But we haven't been able to get the NDP to make a commitment about raising welfare rates. And so one of the things we're going to be doing in January is we've got a an MLA, Jagrup Brar, an NDP MLA, who's going to spend the month living on the welfare rate of 610. And we're hoping with that to bring attention to the fact that welfare rates are so low, and that they actually, they're so low that they, instead of helping people get back on their feet, they push people down. And we're trying to get, you know, anything any listeners could do, you know, you write to the, or email the premier at premier@gov.bc.ca and tell her to raise the rates, and also the NDP, tell them that we desperately need higher welfare rates. That's the main thing. We also need more social housing. You need to change some of the welfare rules. Like, most people don't know that if you're on welfare and you earn money, you have to declare it, or it's fraud, and if you declare it, it's deducted from your check. Even, you know, I was thinking this morning, even if you get gifts, you're supposed to declare those. So all this charitable giving, if it were actually declared, it would probably be deducted from people's checks, the value of it. The system is insane. Single parents who get support payments from their ex-spouses have to declare it, and it's deducted 100% from their check. So an ex-spouse that's paying support to benefit his kids is actually benefiting the government. Anyway, the system is obscene, really.
So you're saying to people, do all these things, write to the premier, call for justice, but don't stop giving also, yeah?
Right. Not until people have enough. Don't stop giving until they have enough. But put your priority on calling for justice and working for justice.
Thank you so much for talking to me this morning, Jean.
Okay, you're welcome.
I've been speaking with Jean Swanson of Raise the Rates, and she's also with the Carnegie Community Action Plan. And if you would like to write to the premier, that email address that she gave was premier@gov.bc.ca.